This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We're now joined by the one and only Jay Billis to break it down for us. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Now, wait a minute. Can I ask a simple question before we start? Why
do you ask any other types of questions?
No, this is a very simple question, and even you will understand this one. You know, you are one of the most talented announcers, in my opinion, in the business. But yet, I always see you walking around with the lousy announcer, which is what LA stands for, hat. Why do you wear lousy announcer hats? It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
You know, Pac, you wake up some days, you're having a bad hair day, and I didn't want to go on your show and show off a bad hair day. So I put on a hat. And, you know, look, that's what champions do. They wear blue.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Just like Packer is today, Jay.
Yeah, that's right. Just in your honor. This is my Dodger blue button down. It sure is.
I don't want to distract you. I'll give you a little bit of a break. There's a shine coming off.
That is a good point. But again, L.A., lousy announcer. That's the first thing that pops in my head when I see you wearing that bad boy. All right, let's get serious.
Ruined forever now. You've ruined it forever.
Good.
Now I can't wear it again.
There you go. We've made progress. Well, let's get right to some serious business. Just how good was Florida State Monday night? If that's what we get the rest of the way, I know the one lines, the two lines, and all that sort of been established by the committee, but that is one talented bunch. They have a chance playing that level.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised at the surprise of some at Florida State's play. You know, the last time they came off pause, didn't they beat NC State by like 100 and shot, 60-some percent for a week? They're really good. And they did something that I was a little surprised that more teams haven't done. Now, they're more equipped to do it because they have more, long arm, great athletes to be able to pull this off. But they took away the three-point shots of Jay Huff, for the most part, Trey Murphy and Sam Hauser, and they made Kihei Clark try to beat him with twos in the lane. And so instead of collapsing, they didn't send multiple defenders at him. They said, okay, go ahead and finish these. And if you can make, if you can score 50 points, then you can beat us. But the combination of excellent defense and full court pressure and really keeping, forcing turnovers, which doesn't usually happen with Virginia, and then just the outstanding offense they ran. I think that, what did they hit, 13, 14 threes in that game? They were spectacular.
Jay, the idea of Florida State's, the ability at both ends is one thing, and a 21-point win is a hell of a statement, but Virginia's really good too. It's going to be interesting to see how many times we get Virginia, Florida State, and what they look like, because I think the Cavaliers are still kind of evolving as well.
Virginia is a good team, and at times they're very good, but I don't think they're in the class that they were a couple years ago or 3 years ago. They're not number one seed good. I don't think they're national champion good, but they can beat a lot of teams. And they're different this year because the strength of their team is in their front court. I mean, that's their shooting. And, when they were the championship team and the number one seed team in 2018 that lost in the first round, they were a team where their strength was in their guards, and they had NBA guards. They don't have that this year. They've got good players, and they're good defensively, and they're good on offense. But they're not what they have been when they were, frankly, they were great. That's part of the ACC this year. We've got a number of very good teams. We don't have as much great as we've had. There have been years in the past where we're going, man, this team is one of the best teams we've seen. We don't have that this year. That's okay. We can handle it. But it's one of those years where we don't have a lot of great.
Jay, what do you think you're going to see tonight with Duke, given what's happened with the Jalen Johnson news this week where he's now opted out? I thought the Blue Devils played maybe one of their better defensive games Saturday, where they looked like there was some intensity, where they really just kind of swallowed NC State early. What do you expect to see from the Blue Devils given the news in the game tonight against Wake Forest, who has certainly vastly improved?
You know, Pac, that's a really good question. And given what we've seen all season long, the only answer I can come up with is I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Because I thought that Duke had turned a corner when they beat Georgia Tech and Clemson in succession. And you're thinking, okay, here's where they start taking off and becoming the team that I think they're capable of being, or at least at the beginning of the season I thought they were capable of being. And they went down to Miami and got beat by the Hurricanes, and it was not a good performance. And I think that shook the foundation of that team, and it got a lot of heads shaking and wondering what are we doing here. I think if I remember right, Coach K after the game had said, you know, Jalen Johnson was horrible, and you know, things like that. And they were inconsistent. They've been inconsistent after that. So the NC State performance was a really good step forward, I think. But, you know, it's kind of funny, Pac and Wes, like this is one of those things with Duke where they've been so good for so long that when they're just like everybody else, it seems catastrophic.
Right.
Like they're a good team. Like they can beat people. They're good. But they're not, you know, they're banging on the door. Can they be a tournament team is the question, which that's where most teams live. And they haven't lived there in 20 some years. And man, it seems like the sky's falling in Durham. And then with this opt out thing with Jalen Johnson, I've been really kind of look, that's an odd thing. You don't see it very often. I've not heard much of it. But I've been a little bit surprised by the reaction to it being so harsh. You know, we are, not to remind everybody, we are in the middle of a pandemic. His parents have been heavily involved in this. They really don't get to see him. So the information deficit that everybody's operating on is a little bit different this year, and I think heightens the sensitivity of things. I don't think it was the best decision for his NBA future. You know, I understand that, you know, the concern about his NBA stock, it's just that I'm not sure that enough weight was given to how this is going to be viewed by NBA teams, and they'd better be able to answer the question of why did you do this and have a satisfactory answer. He's going to get drafted in the first round, but maybe not as high as he had expected. And in part, it may be because of this.
Jay, I'm, and Pac will tell you this, I'm growing a little more leery of postseason basketball almost daily. Teams on pause, coming off pause, teams that go on pause now. I mean, yesterday was Boston College, and I know it's a tough week for the Eagles. Day before that was Clemson. Over the weekend, it was Virginia Tech. I mean, if they run the normal course 2 weeks, it leaves them maybe with a couple, three regular season games left at the max, then into Greensboro. And I told Pac this earlier in the show, I'm not sure we've had a sequence in January where we've had all 15 teams in the ACC able to play. How concerned are you today about finishing this and then getting through Greensboro and on into Indianapolis without massive interruption?
I don't know about massive interruption. I mean, I'm not concerned that we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. There's just too much money on the line. It's going to happen. Like the NCAA bubble event in Indianapolis is going to go on. That's going to happen. And the tournaments are going to be played because they're the one thing that they have are massive contracts in place that they have to provide inventory to media partners. So this is going to happen. I have zero doubt about that. The question is, and to your question is, you know, how many teams are going to suffer those interruptions? And to me, I mean, I've thought about this a lot with the NCAA, you know, bubble event protocols for Indianapolis, how they're going to handle that and how I would handle it if I were running a team. And really what you're going to have to do is take your entire tier one group and isolate them like the players have been isolated this whole time. Because, you know, look, they don't publicize this, but one of the issues that we've been dealing with is the players have been in total isolation. And their risk is minimal. The risk is being brought in by the coaches and the staff because they go home every night. And so if you really want to eliminate that risk, I think you're going to have to say, okay, everybody's got to go into this bubble with the players and say goodbye. Everybody say goodbye to your families, you know, kiss the kids goodbye. And then you can see them at the end of this thing. And I know it sounds like I'm being facetious, but I'm not. that's really the way that, that you can keep everybody as safe as possible and satisfy all these protocols going into the NCAA bubble event.
All right, I'm going to ask you about another game tonight. And I asked this to Wes earlier, Jay, but I think the most interesting game tonight is Louisville and Syracuse on twofold. Number one, Syracuse still fighting for their lives as far as the NCAA tournament with a chance to get a quality win. And Louisville coming off this pause, who knows, right? I mean, like you keep saying, you may get a Florida State version where they shoot 77%, score 105 points, or it may be a Clemson version for 2 weeks. They just get woodshedded every night. Crystal ball, Syracuse and Louisville for me.
It's another who knows. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because not every pause is the same, Pac. Like some pauses, players are allowed to get into the gym and work out. Others, they're not. So you have some teams that have come off of a 2 week pause and they haven't been able to do anything for maybe a day or two. And then, you know, you got these backloaded schedules where teams are playing all these games in a row or scheduled to, and you don't know how teams are going to react to that. Louisville's got a young front court. You know, they've got a number of freshmen that play up front for them, and they've got an older back court. So Carleek Jones, who is a ACC Player of the Year candidate, you know, you would expect that he's gonna lead the way in this thing. But I have no idea how these teams are going to play, and really – like, I thought Michigan, when they came back off their 23-day pause, would show a little bit of rust. And they, you know, they might not have looked great in the first half, but they handled Wisconsin in the second half, looked like they hadn't been off at all. You mentioned Florida State. But there are other teams that have come back, and you're going, where have you guys been? Like, how was that pause, like, 6 months? Right. So you just don't know. And plus, another thing that's virus-related, for teams that have been on pause because some of the players have had the virus – they come back and it takes them a while, and some of them are still feeling effects of it, even weeks and weeks after they've had it.
That's interesting. You're right, though. It's kind of been a different gear for everybody. I thought the point you mentioned earlier, when Florida State came back and beat NC State by 30-some and shot 71%, that's the best return we've ever seen from anybody nationally this year.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where you know you don't want to make jokes about it, but you start thinking, you know, maybe everybody should go on a pause for a little while if that's sort of the way you come back from it. And I don't mean to make light of a serious situation, but Leonard Hamilton and his staff are really amazing with the way they put this program together and how selfless their team is. You know, they've got a McDonald's All-American in Scotty Barnes, who never played the point before. He's playing the point guard position now. And he doesn't seem to care whether he scores, except when the game's on the line, then he's willing to take over. But he does everything out there and never seems to be bothered by the fact that, well, you know, I'm only averaging 10 points a game. What's that going to do to my NBA stock and all that? And then, you know, Patrick Williams last year doesn't even start. He's drafted fourth overall. Really an amazing, amazing program.
I was going to say, as far as the lapses and pauses, Michigan's 40-20 second half looked like, hey, same old, same old. And that was on the road against Wisconsin, who's really good, which you mentioned. I want to ask you, too, about Jim Christian. He's dismissed this week. It's been tough sledding at BC as far as being competitive in the league. Jay, I don't know what your thoughts are on coaches being dismissed in the middle of the season, but I've never understood it. I'm sure there's a reason why. You want to win. I get it. It's a competitive business. You got to be productive. You got to win games. I get all that. But, you know, now, the timing of this, did you understand any of that?
No, and I feel the exact same way you do, that it's inappropriate and the wrong way to do things. But then I kind of snap back into what I consider to be the reality of this, and that is that ship sailed a long time ago. This has been pro sports for a long time. And so the idea that we're gonna do things and say, well, you know, this is college sports and we're different. We're not different. We're the same as the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball, you name it. and look, it's a confluence of events. Like there's no, I'm not sitting here trying to defend Jim Christian's record and saying, okay, well, he deserves another year or all that. We all serve at the pleasure of our employers. If they want to fire him, fire him. But he does have a new AD. I'm not sure exactly how much it entered into that Jim actually stood up for his players when they only had four players, four scholarship players and a bunch of walk-ons that never play. and he was essentially ordered to play Florida State, coming off a pause. And he stood up and said, I just don't agree with this. And then they cut him loose like this. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised by this. I'm not surprised by anything that college sports does anymore, because it's not college sports, it's pro.
Yeah. Quick word here. I have just checked, by the way, a moment ago. I want to update you here because I know it's a Wednesday and it's 30 degrees in Charlotte, so I'm not sure we're going to be able to work on the wedge game today. I'm not sure the wedge game or the downslope or the long iron game is going to, you know, the bucket of balls may have to wait.
Yeah, I'll have to wait a couple hours until the frost warning is over, but no longer than that.
Let me tell you something. All that means is a little extra time at the Laurel Market, hanging out with the boys, wearing that goofy LA hat, being made fun of, and maybe two cups of coffee before we hit the range.
You know, lousy yeah. announcer isn't that bad. I'm getting used to it.
By the way, anything you want to tease on Friday night's Bald Men Not on Campus, other than the fact I know you continue to be amazed it's renewed week after week during basketball?
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to hearing Seth Greenberg complain about the latest issue in his life, whether it's he couldn't take a walk with Jake the Wonder Dog or... You know, his favorite Italian restaurant is still closed for outdoor dining in the 15 degree below zero Connecticut weather. It'll be great. Friday at eight. It's a miracle every Friday. Every Friday. Yeah. That's how I know if I'm still alive, if I get a call saying Bald Men on Campus has not been canceled yet.
You know that. You know, you said that we all deserve a little pause. There's some folks going, maybe a pause will do you well. Hey, be careful what you wish for there, Billis, right? Be careful.
Be careful. I have been wishing for it.
Oh, man. Hey, Jay, thanks for the time as always.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Interesting games this afternoon and tonight. Had a couple games with the ladies last night. We'll get into all that stuff. More guests coming up during the Power Hour. But we put our ridiculous skills to the test in another blind resume game, Wes. Last week, the boys said, we are going to wear y'all out, and we dominated. Now, I sense a little uneasiness with the smart people up there in Bristol. They're like, oh, they'll do pretty well. Now we've... I think their confidence has been messed with after last week's performance.
No, this is one of those things where they're front selling our success only to hammer us.
Yeah, that's how it works. All right, let's see how we do on this bad boy. All right.
All right.
Lumberjacks.
Let's see. Here come the rollouts. Oh, man. Oh, we're just going to get the singles.
All right, wait a minute. Quad one wins zero. Well, I know there's a handful of ACC teams with a zero in the quad department. Home losses, one.
Wow.
I'm going to go Louisville here because I know Louisville's got a zero in the quads. Home loss of one. They lost to Florida State. I'm going to go Louisville, Wes.
Yep, Louisville. Louisville?
Uh-huh. They think they're messing with us.
Hey,
the quad one wins at zero is a giveaway. I got to tell you, we got a couple teams in the league with a zero in the quad one win department. That to me was an obvious one. Yeah, it only could have been two or three teams.
That's it.
What else they got? Is that it? BPI? Are they just shutting?
That's not it. No,
are they pulling the Spurrier and quitting midway through the segment? Is that what they're doing here?
No, they're not quitting. Here we go.
All right, quad one wins one.
Huh.
Four home losses. Now let's see who is stunk at home. How many times has Duke lost at home, Wes? Three or four? They haven't lost four times though, have they?
Yeah, that could be Duke. That's Duke.
Wait a minute. Duke's lost at home. Who's Duke's lost to at home?
Four times. Duke's lost four times at home. They're 6-4 at home.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're killing this. The home losses will give away there. What else these guys got? They got anything else? You know, do you want me to pick lottery numbers? Well, I mean,
no,
lottery
numbers. No, no, we definitely don't want lottery numbers. Definitely don't want you to pick lottery numbers.
All right, boys, the next one. You got?
The next one. At some point, they're going to throw a backdoor slider on us. And here it is.
Home losses. Home loss is the key here. Four home losses. I'm
that
go
is
Georgia Tech. I'm gonna go Georgia.
It could
Tech.
Be Notre Dame. Could be Notre Dame.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. That helps just having them, by the way.
Yeah, the home loss.
I just had them Sunday night, so sorry. Yeah,
the home losses was the giveaway there, right? There's, I mean, how many teams got four home losses, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's not it, right? We got one. Oh. Okay, we got more.
So
how many in a row have we gotten right there? Uh-oh.
All right, quad one wins. A zero is a giveaway.
Hmm.
Home losses. How about somebody like Syracuse here? Syracuse lost at home to Pitt, right? They have another one? Strength schedule. 40. I'm going to go Syracuse on a guess.
Syracuse? This couldn't be Wake Forest, could it?
Woo! Look at my man. Look at my man, Wes Durham. Rocking it from Cartersville. The deep three. Chris with a dish right there. That's Chris with a dish right there now.
Sorry. All right, that's a lucky one.
Nice.
That's lucky.
I love that one. That was from deep.
One more. The last one.
That was from deep in the corner.
Oh, man.
All right, how about that being Syracuse? Wait a minute now.
That's Syracuse.
That could be Syracuse.
Wait. No, that's Syracuse. That's Syracuse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The quad one at zero is the giveaway.
That's why I'm telling you, the quad ones and the home losses make this an easier map to read for us.
I agree. Totally agree. I thought that when we fell flat on our face doing blind resumes, and we have, believe me, because people are like, oh, they already knew the answers. No, we have, believe me, we have no idea what the answers are.
We do not know.
But with the first go around, I think we got one right. That was the hardest.
Yeah.
That was the hardest. That was just truly blind. But we've now gotten into enough games that when you give me a zero in the quad one department, it's a short list. I mean, you've got to have quality wins, man. And that's why we spent so much time earlier in the show defining what is quad one and quad two, because a lot of folks don't know what that means. So now you should know that. As like I said, at 7:30, that was going to be the most important 15 minutes of the day in terms of understanding how that works. So now when you move forward, so we get here the last 3 weeks, you start hearing people talking about bubbles and quad one wins, quad two wins.
Yeah.
Now you'll understand how that works. So that's the deal.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, another successful blind resume segment. Total domination by the host. Starting to get ugly. Starting to get ugly around here. Host. Kind of feel like Florida State basketball. We just kind of roll it out there after taking some time off and just destroy whatever's in our wake. Kind of feel like Florida State basketball.
Stop. Just right. Stop.
It's time to go back to the Lumberjacks, the smart people up there in Bristol. They're bruised. Their egos are bruised a little bit after what we just did. Your Wake Forest from the deep three, that was a killer. That was a dagger call by Wes Durham.
Thank you.
That was a dagger. the smart
all
folks.
Right. Let's move along to overs and unders. And ladies and gentlemen, here to moderate the over and unders, the other half of the Lumberjacks, the pride of South 19th Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona. Please welcome Andrew Brooks.
How do you know where I grew up? Just out of curiosity. I also want to go back to the we thing. Pack used a lot of we in there when you were the one that went undefeated.
I just said
don't
West
be trying
Durham,
to draw divide. Don't be trying to draw dividing lines between us, Drew.
I will give the assist.
It's Packer and Durham, not Packer, not Durham. Packer and Durham, right, Mark?
My partner with the dagger from the corner from Switzerland. I will dish with the assist. I have no problem.
And by the way,
I'm not going to tell our listeners that we get to watch you on camera when our full screens are up, and I'm not going to tell them that I saw you go to your computer and pull up the website.
By the way,
who are you talking
to? You called my man, John Griggs, right here. John Griggs, coach of the Cougars. That's the Apex Cougars. That's the 82, 83
Wes.
Cougars right there.
Wes.
You called John Griggs today, he'd tell you, I shoot. I don't guard.
Wes, Josh,
get John Griggs on the phone.
Wes, I don't think you just were listening at all to what you were accused of doing here by the Lumberjacks. Did you hear what the Lumberjacks said?
Watched it.
Nefarious ideas.
Let's get to it. Wait a minute.
We just embarrassed the Lumberjacks.
Here we go
Wes embarrassed us. All right. Wes just embarrassed the Lumberjacks. And so the Lumberjacks' comeback is not, hey, nice job, Wes. It was, yeah, we saw you cheating on the computer.
Hold on. As soon as we got done from or went to break, the first thing we said was, wow, again, Wes, you killed it. Very first thing that we congratulated him. The very first thing.
And now,
the very first thing.
And now we've got computer fraud going on.
No respect. Wiretapping. What do you want me to say? Go ahead. Let's go. Over under.
Right, over under all of them that you get in the blind resume next week. No. So we're looking forward to all four ACC games tonight. We're going to start with North Carolina. Roy Williams joins us at 9:30. Over under 50 points in the paint for the Tar Heels tonight against Northeastern. UNC is averaging 34.3 points per game in the paint. Northwestern's played 5 games this season against major conference opponents, and they've allowed over 41.5 points in the paint.
Over under 50, I'm going to say under.
Yeah, that's a lot of points. I'm good, definitely under. That's a lot of points. I mean, listen, they're not playing Duke.
Wow. Speaking of shots fired.
Let's pretend like that didn't happen. Please.
Wow.
I'm going to move on. Speaking of a lot of points, over under
90%. In lieu of future guests, can we move on?
There is only one being transparent now. Only one on the screen that you see is now being transparent.
Wes? I'm confused.
Rim protection. Anybody hear that before?
Mark is trying to validate here, so we'll just move on, Drew.
All right, it's on the screen. Over under 90% of Pitt's scoring will come from their starters tonight against NC State. In their last 2 games, Pitt's starters have accounted for 92% of the points.
Yeah, you know what? If the L. Horton goes into the lineup and all of a sudden they start picking up some perimeter scoring, I'm going to go under 90, but it's going to be close. And by the way, can we chronicle this number tomorrow? By the way, I'd like to see that number in particular, that and Carolina's inside scoring tomorrow on the show. But I'd say under, but not much under.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over. I think Justin Champagne's Champagne took 6 shots. Something tells me.
We're talking about scoring, though.
He is going to score. The dude is going to score. He's the best player in the league. He's going to score. He's going to take more than 6 shots. I'm going to go over on that number. And by the way, after you and I were bragging about Georgia Tech, and then I think it was the number was 68, and then won our deal last week.
Yeah.
Against Clemson.
Yeah. How about the people that sent us 68?
Oh,
how about all the people on social media?
Oh, as soon as Georgia Tech got to 6-8, man, we were just getting bombarded. Oh, hey, you guys watching the game? Yeah, we're watching the game.
Drew, unbelievable the number of people that hit us in the mouth on social media when Georgia Tech got to 68 Friday night, by the way.
Awesome.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Josh,
like
and
we
I
were
start,
Wayne
stop,
Allen Root or somebody.
We'll stop peppering you with our burner Twitter accounts after you guys miss these questions.
Ah, it's so
thanks,
funny.
Yeah.
All right, moving all right, on. I'm not sure how many people know this, but Syracuse and Louisville rank 1-2 in 3-point defense in the conference. So over under 35% from beyond the arc for the winning team tonight in the Syracuse-Louisville game.
Under. Under.
Yeah, cards are coming off a pause. Orange shoots so many. I'll go over only because I think somebody's getting hot tonight. And I don't know if it's the home team off the pause or if it's the combination of Boeheim and all those guys. I'm going to go over just because I think somebody gets hot tonight.
I'm going to go under just because.
All right.
Because. How about
okay.
that?
All right. That's Who fine.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Marked the tape because. Got it.
That's it.
Duke
it's kind of insight and analysis. That's what you're here for, folks. Hey. Because.
You know what? It's what you pay for. Because. That's yeah. why. West can't goes wait. Left. I'm going to go right on that one. Because.
Yeah. Can't wait for the answer on this one. So a bit of a long preamble here because I like to hear myself talk. Over under 6 3-point field goals for Wake Forest tonight versus Duke. Why did we pick 6? 6 was the number that Wake Forest 6 was the number that they had against Duke earlier this season. It's the second fewest threes they've made in a game all season. Here's the kicker. In Duke's last three losses, they've given up an average of 9 threes a game. But in their 3 wins, they've only given up an average of 5.
Here's the other thing, too, Pack. I don't know if you realize, and I had Wake one time a couple weeks ago against Miami, and I'll have them again in March against Pittsburgh. Have you noticed their 3-point disparities in terms of the way they allot the? I mean, Odie Aguama doesn't shoot them. Everybody else pretty much is in play to shoot it behind the line. Number one, highly entertaining. And once it starts going in, it gets contagious on their team. What Jonah Antonio did the other day was a massive table set for everybody else.
Right.
They'll make more than 6. That's easy. They're going to make more than 6 tonight. They're shooting it a lot better than they were. And by the way, Ian DuBose is back, another 3-point shooter on the floor. He didn't play the first time around.
Yeah, I'm definitely going over. I mean, Antonio went 7 of 8 against Florida State. And so I'm going to go over the number. The question's going to be, if it's tight late, which it could be, forget the threes. You're going to make a free throw. That's the question. Are you going to make the easy one? Forget the three. Make the free throws. Sure. You win some games. So I'm going over.
All right, we're going to leave you with this. It's the hardest question of the segment. BPI tonight favors North Carolina. They favor Pitt. They favor Louisville. And they favor Duke. Over under 1.5 games, BPI gets it right in the ACC tonight.
Over. Over. These aren't hard games tonight. Over. These aren't hard games. How about this? True. I think a better question
is
this.
Why is the number 1.5 and not 2? Why is it 1.5 and not 2, Drew?
I didn't want the opportunity for a tie.
Okay.
I like that. Here's the better question.
Just because. I meant to say just because.
That would have been a better answer.
Yeah.
But here's a better question.
That would have been a better answer.
Forget really about over, under. True or false, BPI gets all of them right. True or false. That's the better question.
Oh, we're doing over under here.
Yeah, well, guess what? That segment just ended. This one's brought to you by Dish. True or false? BPI gets all 4 right. True or false? West Durham, true or false? Brought to you by Dish.
BPI will not get all of them right.
Correct answer. Drew Brooks, true or false? BPI gets them all right. Brought to you by Dish.
Hold on. You asked Wes for true or false, and he just said no. But I'm going to say true. I think BPI gets them all right tonight.
Oh, the company man. Company man.
Of course,
man.
Yeah. Now we know. I'm starting to sense where BPI is coming from now. It might be from the desk of Drew Brooks. I'm starting
that
to sense. The only one that defends BPI is Brooks. The only one.
There you go.
I don't want to defend it, but I do want to say this because Josh got into a long back and forth with our friends at BPI earlier this week.
Wait a minute. Stop.
Oh, no.
Who are
oh, no. Wait.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
Stop. who are friends of BPI? Who are those people?
That ain't happening.
That's what I want to know.
If I told you that, then we'd have to end the show, and unfortunately, you guys are under contract for a long time.
No, we're not.
But
no,
I do
want to
say
this. No, we're not. No, we're not.
You're going to love this line because Josh loved it too. When they told us that BPI is never wrong, this is what they mean.
Please.
What they're saying is that they're going to predict a game, and if it's 70-30, even if that team that they think is going to win the game 70% of the time loses, they're still not wrong because
they're
that's built into their percentages. So the official word from BPI is that no matter what happens, we're always right.
You know why they're always right? Here's their answer.
Because.
That's why. That's why.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Oh, the BPI folks. Causing some issues in Bristol. Gotta love it. Even the dogs woke up for that one, Wes. Well, Fuller did. Chester's still sound asleep.
Yeah. All right, there the boys are. Look, oh, yeah, look at them. Taking a look.
Yeah, Fuller's doing all right.
Yeah. You know, from time to time here in the last couple of weeks or so, we've been profiling groundbreaking black athletes on ACC campuses. Ron Simmons of Florida State today. February Black History Month, and in collaboration with the Undefeated, ACC Network is celebrating black history always. And the history isn't about the past necessarily. It could be about now. And one of those great examples is Duke field hockey midfielder Darcy Bourne, who is from England, right outside of London. And while she excelled in the sport of field hockey, playing on England's junior national teams and more, she is, like most, you know, involved in this strife we're having in our country right now with racial injustice and racial equality. Because of the pandemic, she moved all the way from England to Durham. To start her career. And the story of Darcy Bourne and a photo that made her face the face of a movement, a young woman who made a worldwide statement for racial equality by asking all the tough questions without saying a word.
There's Darcy Bourne, who goes with the flick and sends it to the top corner.
When you're on the sports field, everyone, you're on the same team together, you've got the same goal, you're trying to win. And you don't think about someone's skin color.
Darcy Bourne ringing the back of the net, that upper left-hand corner.
Coming from a biracial family, she probably just sees it as the norm. You know, she sees her dad as black and me and as white, but she doesn't. She sees him as mum and dad. And so you don't really think about racial inequalities because there is no inequality within the family.
I grew up in a predominantly white area, so I was used to being the only person of color in my team, in my school. So when I joined field hockey, I didn't think anything of it. I think I was quite naive to that when I was younger. But as I grew up, I did start to notice the lack of representation.
The officer seen with his knee on George Floyd for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, now charged with second degree murder.
I remember sitting at home during lockdown and I watched a video of George Floyd and I just stopped. I couldn't believe that someone could do that to another human being. I was filled with every emotion. I haven't felt that strongly about something ever in my life. And when I heard the protests were coming to London, I knew it was something I needed to get involved in. Being in the middle of a pandemic and being a young girl, my parents were a bit hesitant to let me go to the protest. And then we sat down and we watched the memorial of George Floyd, and they realized the gravity of the situation, how much it meant to me.
George Floyd! George Floyd! George Floyd!
I arrived early just to set up and see the lay of the land. And I as I was walking on the road, I saw a couple of protesters, one being Darcy. The bandana she was wearing had an intensity, and of course her eyes were of so much purpose. And her sign just hit me.
I was lying in bed the night before the protest, and I stopped and thought, like, why is ending racism a debate? Why? Most people do not consider themselves racist, so why is it still a problem throughout the world?
I knew the moment I pressed the shutter that that was going to be something special.
Sitting there in the evening and her phone started pinging And people are saying, have you seen? Have you seen? We're going, seen what?
Quickly, lots of celebrities shared it. From there, it just blew up, and the next 48 hours were just completely overwhelming. But the moment for me that made me realize that I'd actually had an impact on this movement was when Martin Luther King III shared my photo. Because for me, no one else in the world could have meant more to me than for him to share the photo because of the work that him and his father have done for black people all around the world.
What's important is that to understand that you can't get equality by simply one side shouting more loudly than the other. Instead, here is something that challenges you. It provokes conversations.
When I saw Darcy really taking an active stance over in England, I wanted her to know that she had allies here and that we were all behind what it was she was protesting about, and she shouldn't do it alone.
When I arrived at Duke, I did feel slightly out of place being the only English person on my team and also the only person of colour on my team. But I quickly realised that the girls in this team are so accepting. And additionally, when we started to have conversations with our team about Black Lives Matter and about racism, it just made me so proud to see my teammates and my friends really making an effort to be actively anti-racist and seeing how they could grow and help the situation.
A lot of our teammates are very active and want to be active in BLM, so we were just as interested in like finding out about Darcy as she was to share. And most impactful, I'd say, is that she showed all of us that our one voice can do so much.
The pride of the photo itself was huge, but my pride is greater because of what she's continuing to do and how she's trying to educate people more and more. And not just let it go, it's not just a trend.
From that photo of me, I really hope people realize that there are still problems in the world that need to be addressed, and that they can only be solved through all of us fixing them, and that each one of us can have a difference, and we have a power to make that difference.
Little old me and Darcy, you know, in London, managed to capture the essence of a global movement. Because that image, when Darcy and I have long gone, is going to continue being an activist in itself.
Last night, Darcy Bourne was with Kelsey Riggs and EJ Manuel on In Play. Here's some of that visit.
You have actually started to take the next steps outside of just speaking about this. You've started an organization that's called Beyond Our Game. Tell us a little bit about the organization and what you hope people get out of it.
Mm-hmm. So Beyond Our Game, I co-founded it with Courtney Williamson from UNC. So despite the Duke-UNC rivalry, we got together for what we thought was right. And it's a company aimed at building community amongst minority student athletes through storytelling, sharing resources, and involvement of community service. But we further serve these minority student athletes by matching them with prospective companies who are looking to diversify their workforce and hire well-rounded candidates like the ones we're offering in our database. So I'm really excited that we've got some tangible work that we can really do to help the situation here in America.
I mean, I feel like there's so many people that we just feel like, oh, I can do one thing, but it won't make that big a difference or no one will notice. And you literally just went outside with a sign, just hoping to do something for yourself and be part of a bigger thing. And now you have this platform. How much has it taught you just about how one moment can turn into something so much bigger?
Yeah. As I've said before, that moment, that day changed my life. And one of my biggest takeaways from the Black Lives Matter movement is that every single one of us has the power to make a difference. And the power of each individual should not be underestimated. So if you're taking that first step as talking to your friends or educating yourself or having those difficult conversations, it can have a bigger impact than you could ever imagine. So have the courage and take that first step.
Wow. Great stuff with Darcy Bourne, Pack. We've said this for a long time, since June, the impact and the energy of college people, college students, but in particular college student athletes, cannot be overlooked in this process. They have been determined to have a voice and to make a change.
First of all, it's a great story. Second of all, it's such a powerful message, and it's been a consistent message that we've seen from student athletes who have taken ownership. And We can't emphasize this enough, that we've had so many student athletes just on our show talking about being moved to do something, that just don't sit back and accept things, make change. And I just hope folks are open-minded, right? That's all you ask. Just listen and pay attention. But there is no doubt that the movement in this country, with young people in particular, has really been powerful and gaining momentum really since the shutdown back in March. Just watch the student-athlete really take ownership of not only this issue, Wes, but even, I think, above that, up and above the social and racial unrest in this country. Name, image, and likeness is coming down the pike. It's going to have an even a bigger impact as far as the student-athlete having control, having a voice, and being able to make change.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.